Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You don't need much to play a computer game. Some software and a single player will usually do. But why play alone when you can play Quake on the internet?
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
British citizen Ben Vanel. Oh. Go girls!
Boo. I was born in England. Boo! Boo! Adam Knox here.
There was... last night the Matildas played against England. They lost, sadly. We were at the same pub, Tommy, to watch it.
Yep.
I was at a neighbouring pub.
Yeah.
The Australian pub.
Ben and I were sitting next to each other. We were watching the game sort of like Van Halen style, where I was watching one screen and you were watching a screen in another direction. Yeah. So we were sort of sitting there like back to back, both facing opposite
right.
ways.
Yes. I'd have thought Charlie's Angels, I guess. I don't know about Van Halen.
What's the, or like the thing where do it's like the two guitar players kind of leaning back against each other
that
soloing?
That sounds like a Van Halen thing. Or, oh God, what are they called? Europe?
Oh, yeah.
The Venga Boys.
Yeah, that's who I mean.
Yes. Upstairs there was a woman who was loudly and proudly proclaiming her dual citizenship of Australia and England.
Dirty
and
behavior.
Going for England.
Wow. Right. Like, I mean, well, that's the thing rich. About the...
And nothing wrong with going for whoever you choose to support.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But don't.
Yes. But shut the fuck up about it.
I mean, well, hey, that's the thing. I mean... Obviously, ancestrally, we are all British.
Yes.
When you think about it in this country.
The three of us here, sure.
Yeah. Well, it's Australians.
Well, a group of them.
We're all... Yes.
The colonizers.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if I told you this, but a friend of mine was telling me recently she studied in England just after high school and she was in a class and the lecturer was like... Yeah, and then the Australians went over there and boy, they did some awful stuff to the Indigenous people there. And she's like, no, that was you. It wasn't the Australians that went over.
Right.
It's like, no, that was...
That's the British.
That was you. The British went and did that.
Yeah, you can't wipe your hands of that.
They weren't here anymore, so I don't know.
The instant they stepped foot on that convict ship, they became Australian.
I hired the hitman who then killed them in another place. So I've nothing to do with
the
it.
Hitman she said there was just like one other Australian person in this class and they're just looking at each other being like, are we going to say something here? How's that as a rewriting? Those naughty Australians and what they did. And
well, they've fucked the British. They've done it again. Mm-hmm. They fucked Australia over.
Yeah.
As someone who never gets involved in sport until it becomes such a big cultural groundswell that I get swept up in it, you know, I'm the biggest fan in the world now of World Cup soccer.
That's the thing that really fucks
me off. Happened a year ago too.
It did, yeah.
And I think I'm bad luck.
The thing that fucks me off about sport is how like people who are into it gatekeep it so much. Like, they love to be like, oh, you just bandwagon jumping.
Especially with soccer, they're always like diving in front of the way of you before you can get in there.
On the ground, pretending they're really hurt that you're all of a sudden. When it's like, you think about the equivalent of video games and just all of a sudden people in lockdown being like, I'm going to buy a Switch and play Animal Crossing. Mm. I haven't owned a console since the Super Nintendo days. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
You're jumping on the bandwagon. That's
more
awesome.
Friends.
You found a new hobby.
I'm always like, no, stay away.
You're not a real gamer. Yeah. You address that to one group of people.
Name three of KK Slider's albums.
And nyah, number two.
Wop, 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 wop.
Oh, that's a classic.
That's
that
my favorite KK Slider noises. When he does that in like, as like, you know, when they'll like play a muted chord on the guitar.
Yes, yes.
Fuck, I love it when KK does a bit of that.
I wonder if they've done this in Japan, because they love doing like their Kirby concerts and stuff like that, where they have like a full, like an 80-piece orchestra playing the music from Kirby. I wonder if they've done some sort of like, yeah, KK Slider concert featuring like, you know, hologram performance by the great man.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That's the sort of thing I could see.
I mean, someone in just a costume, maybe even. That leads us perfectly into a little piece of news I saw that I don't think either of you two would have seen because it's only happened recently.
Oh, okay. We are out on the piss.
on the lash,
yeah,
mate.
I was watching
the news
at home.
The lads are fucking great. Because that's the news I saw last night.
Oh, okay. Mm. Right. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, we are so back.
Yeah.
The news is not about how the boys are back in town.
You're right then. I didn't see it.
I'm not in Edinburgh for the Fringe Festival this year, and the Edinburgh Tattoo takes place at the same time, which is like a big military festival that happens at the same time as the Arts Festival.
Big parade and shit.
They got a stadium thing next to the castle, and they do shows every night, and something they're playing this year is the bombing run theme from Final Fantasy VII, which is the from like the very start of the game. Exactly.
Yeah.
Did you read about this on Chortle? Steve Bennett absolutely tearing it apart.
Yeah. The bassoonist thinks he's quirky, but it isn't at all. I'm so furious. The 1 year I'm not there.
Yeah, that's
out of the last
brutal
possible to go over there few, and they're doing a game song.
Yeah,
of my favorite ones too. I love that. It's such
that's
a good
great
opening
theme. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't have thought that was the kind of thing where they would bring in tracks like that.
Yeah.
I would have thought they kept it pretty traditional.
I don't know if they just Googled bomb song or something because they needed military music.
Oh, yeah, Now's the time to celebrate bombings. The Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah.
They do a lot of...
I've heard of a few other bombing runs going
exactly,
on.
Exactly, yeah. Good thing if you had have been there and seen that, you would have been like, is this about me? Are they playing this because of my gig?
What
last
do you
night?
Do for a living? You idiot. I've never been to that show either, but apparently it's like a spectacle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if any other like more like it makes is there other like not necessarily video game music, but you know, is Wet Ass Pussy getting a run? Like are they dipping from?
I have a feeling they've done some anime theme in the past too or something. Like they dip in and out of, you know, people in the military love video games.
That's true. Yeah.
Often you got a lot of downtime where you just got to be sitting there waiting for something. So that is my whole life and why I like video games.
Yeah, that's so, because when I think about the kind of audience going to this, I think boomer.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's like...
We used to watch it, especially at like my grandparents' house. Like we'd go over there, you know, they're Scottish and they're like, oh, it's like being at home.
Yeah.
And I don't remember ever hearing like a popular song.
But do you know what boomers like? Boomers like now? Final Fantasy VII.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
true. It's old.
Yeah.
It's an old ass game.
It's cool. I mean, and then in 30 more years, when Gen Z is getting to let's go to the Edinburgh Tattoo age, you know, there'll be a bunch of TikTok songs and whatever playing.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. 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 Like,
would not mind that at all.
It's gonna be great. The future is bright in that one specific unpleasant way that is funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was kind of. I haven't seen a video of the performance. I'm sure you can
imagine it.
Look at it somewhere on the internet.
Well, let us know. We do end up with a lot of listeners in Edinburgh every year.
Yes.
So we see people shouting out that they've been to see you, Adam, when you've been there. So let us know if you've gone to the Edinburgh Military Tattoo and you've heard any other video game music in there. Let us know what they're cranking out.
Like you say, other popular songs. Because I remember it just being like, you know, like military marches and maybe like a Loch Lomond and, you know, like traditional Scottish songs.
I think they've tried to get a lot cooler.
It's
in
so
more
weird
years.
To be like, let's make this military tattoo cooler.
This but is like
it doesn't need to be cooler.
But like people, if you're doing stuff like the way that they used to do recruitment was by going, isn't Scotland amazing? Come join the military.
Mm-hmm.
People don't think that about their countries often anymore.
Yeah, true.
So you go, isn't the theme song from Friends amazing?
Yeah. Well, it's also
come join
it's
the
kind
military.
Of like the
how good would that be if cannons bang 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 bang?
Oh yeah,
it'd be like that's it. It's insidious, but it's propaganda.
Yeah.
Well, isn't there's all that stuff with like people thinking like Or maybe it even like they've said it was, but like things like Call of Duty being like a recruitment tool and stuff like that.
There was that official American Army one, I think called America's Army, that shut down at some point.
Right.
But to get real guns in your games, you have to pay the gun manufacturers.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You have to, and that money
so the
goes
idea
to the
that you've got
thing,
like, the idea that having video game music would inspire someone just sitting there watching the tattoo and being like, damn, I should go to Iraq. I love Final Fantasy
well,
VII.
Not anymore. You wouldn't be going there, but then
no,
you'll
well,
go somewhere
stupid,
soon. Don't worry about it.
It's a stupid person.
Sure.
That's how little he understands about
what's
going on.
Well, and they're into
on.
Retro games, so that's why they want to go there.
Yeah,
to the 90s one, the remake was worse.
Other news. What have we? What have we got going on? It's been a bit of a lean week, but
I've dug my way around a few different things.
How have you managed to play 50 hours of Baldur's Gate and other games? Because I've played less and I've had no time to do anything else.
I have found a portal.
Yeah,
and I'm misusing it. I'm one of those cautionary tales where I'm a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah,
where I went in there to play video games, but then all my fingers broke. No, I'm stuck here forever. Just looking at Let's Plays.
Fuck.
It's hell.
Adam's in the library from Interstellar, just watching himself a few years ago playing Breath of the Wild on the Wii U.
Don't do it.
Get the Switch.
You're going to be referencing it every day forever. Just ignore it.
Imagine if, you know how Gale, the wizard, comes out of that portal?
Yeah.
His arm's sticking out. Imagine if he put his dick through it.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So you've had some time.
Yeah.
I don't
been
know.
Cooking in the kitchen.
Should we do a Baldur's Gate 3 check-in? Because I've gone in
do
since
that,
last week.
But I was. We can do first, yeah.
No, let's do news first.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
That's the traditional format, Edinburgh tattoo style. Keep it tradish.
Well, okay, speaking of the military then.
Yes.
It's at 3:30 a.m. like tonight, tomorrow morning, our time, so it hasn't happened yet, but they're going to be doing a Modern Warfare 3 reveal thing.
Oh, yes.
They did their like announcement that is coming out. This is the one that like... It seems originally started as a DLC thing for Modern Warfare 2, and they were going to skip a year and have shifted gears to, actually, let's make more money than that, and are putting out the full thing as a full game called Modern Warfare 3.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know heaps of details about it yet, other than almost all of it, because it's a Call of Duty game, but like that'll be announced soon, and... The
Gamescon's happening, and they've said there won't be any like massive reveals, but there'll be, you know,
updates
a couple
on
little thingies.
Previously announced games for the most part. I think
God,
is how
these
they
people
said
have
it.
To be so careful now with their like directs and presentations.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what will and will not be included
because of people like us.
Yeah,
get your hopes down. That's what they're saying.
Yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, not a people about Modern Warfare 3. They seem. Off it already.
Yeah, right.
Partly because it seems like the shift in gears to, and they like updated the like Steam version of Modern Warfare 2 to just be called some sort of blanket Call of Duty term because they're trying to sort of roll it all into the one place. And it like, but the conspiracy stuff, I guess, or maybe it's true. I'm not sure. I'm not paying that much attention, but like,
great approach.
A way to, you know, how like apps on the Apple Store as well do this sometimes where they'll do sort of a reissue or an update and it'll wipe the slate clean of old negative reviews.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. Stuff like that. So people are yelling loudly about Call of Duty and it will make over $1 billion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the true measure of worth. Literal monetary value is the only thing that truly matters. But yeah, Gamescom stuff, I haven't seen much of anything. I don't think that started properly yet, right? Next Tuesday, I think?
Yeah, it's coming up. All I saw was the like, yeah, don't get too wound up.
Yeah.
Don't get too pumped.
Well, because people with Gamescom and the Tokyo Game Show is later and then the Game Awards thing at the end of the year are sort of the big ones where stuff like that can happen. There's a lot of next Monster Hunter game chatter is the most interesting thing that I've seen knocked about.
I think literally any event that comes along now, some people are assuming this is where we're getting the Switch 2 announcement.
Oh, sure.
You know, because
oh,
it's like the rumors are so solidified.
Yeah.
And it's like clearly within the next year it will be announced. So any event, you know, you just see people swirling being like, they'll do it here. They won't do it.
I'd be very surprised if they did it alongside anyone else or any sense of
They'll
logic.
Drop a tweet at 4 a.m. Yeah. Australian time that just says, like, tune it's in. Out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The booty caller of video game publishing companies. Yeah. Just surprise message, and you're like, okay. All
right. Okay, I do want to fuck,
it
actually.
Was, the
okay,
last they're one single was again. Pretty good.
They're out of their seven-year relationship with the Switch, and they're ready to fuck.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. There's not like a ton of news this week, really. Mm. A lot of the stuff I've been doing is games that have come out.
I've seen a lot of articles that, yeah, suggest that there's not much news. I sent it to you guys. There was an article on a website that was like, we need to talk about why people aren't playing Hogwarts Legacy anymore.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
just this like, the person who wrote the article did not like the game.
Yes.
And then they're like, Steam currently has it as this many people playing. What a huge drop off from it being the highest selling game of the year. And it's like, all the comments are just like, yeah, the game came out 6 months ago and it's a single player game.
Yeah.
People finished it and they've moved on. Just like, just all the comments
Nobody's
of people
Nobody's watching
going,
Suddenly Susan anymore. That suggests that Susan...
Actually, a surprising amount are, but I'm still not happy.
Yeah, it's just all the comments being like, why is this article on this website?
When
the
I
answer
was
is because there's nothing else to write about.
You know the show Suddenly Susan?
Brooke Shields, right? That's the one?
Couldn't tell you. Maybe, though.
Yeah.
But I remember there used to be, maybe there still is, a women's clothing store called Suzanne's.
Yes.
Here.
And I can verify
this. With that.
I thought they were the same Susan.
Oh, you thought it was a tie-in?
For some reason, I thought that the show and the shop
fuck?
Were like... part of the same Susan cinematic universe.
That's pretty dope. Is there anything like that where there's like a shop that just exists as like a, you know, the series, there's a show about a shop and it just basically exists as an ad for the shop. You know what I mean? Like if there was like if there was a show like set in and about
the Lego
McDonald's,
movie.
Yeah, Legoland.
There's Lego stores, I
Lego
guess.
Legoland's were there before, I guess, because there are a few that are that way around, like Pirates of the Caribbean,
yeah.
where that was a ride and then a film.
That's, yeah.
I and like the diner from Seinfeld makes a lot of money off of being that shop,
right.
I guess.
That is different and, inside.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm saying you launch them side by side. You go, here's our new chain of burger stores.
Mr. Beast Burgers, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which are apparently shit. And there's like a lawsuit about them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of lawsuits going on at the moment.
Oh, man. And, like, speaking of the slow news thing, there's, like, a big and Baldur's Gate 3. And, again, I haven't really engaged with this because just anything I see about it just rings my...
Bell?
Ignore this bell.
Mm.
I've got a series of bells in my head.
Sure.
Ignore this one.
Different tones and different...
It's so annoying having that ironic bell up there that goes, ding, 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 ignore this. Like, cunt. I would.
Yeah.
And it's right next to the dinner bell. So sometimes you're ringing the wrong one by accident.
I get the
and
two
forgetting
pitches
to have dinner.
The,
yeah.
What a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a bad setup. I wish I just had thoughts. Some IGN article that was like poorly, and it's funny to go like it was poorly researched when like, I haven't engaged with it and it's not really our thing, but about Baldur's Gate 3 that was talking about how other developers are afraid of it and whatever, but it was actually like just one guy sort of tweeting being like, don't make us hold us up to this thing. But anyway.
Well, it was a whole thing being like, a game like this that has so much freedom and is so, you know, has so much depth and is so big, it's going to continue to be the exception. Don't think that this is the rule from
it's
now
not
on,
the
that
yardstick.
Every RPG
yeah.
should be like this from now on because it's just unrealistic. And this is a team that had the benefit, and it's the same with Tears of the Kingdom. They're two teams that got given the benefit of like, take as long as you need, we'll delay it. Whereas a lot of teams get put on more of like a definite, like it has to come out in this window.
And people are buying it for 3 years before you release it.
Yeah.
Testing it for you and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when you release it, the first part that they all got to play will be more polished than the rest of the game.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is like, there's a bunch of bullshit going on around that or whatever. But so I've played more of that now and I'm just wrapping up the second act, which it doesn't delineate which... where Act 1 finishes and what Act 2 is.
You get it on Steam. You played it on Steam, right?
Yeah, I don't have like the achievement notifications on though.
I got one.
Because how much people are talking about them, I assumed it would go like Act 2.
Yeah, so
right.
did I. I was like, how do people know?
No, yeah, it just does that. And it's like, it's actually the second time you change areas. Not the first. So, yeah.
There goes like area, two areas you could split off to another area is the second act. And anyway,
yes.
I've finished the second one now and it has gotten noticeably less polished.
Yeah, right.
As stuff has been going on, like I've been getting more bugs of like, wait, who, that character is talking about something that hasn't happened.
Ah, okay. And
right.
Things of that nature. Not terrible, but then the third one is apparently more so. So this is going to be another one as like Divinity Original Sin 2 and 1, I think. Both were like, they came out with the enhanced edition thing.
Yes.
Same
yes.
as like the Witcher games a year or two after. So I think it's a bit of that situation. So if you have not gone in yet, you're okay to wait.
Yeah.
The second and third parts are kind of still in early access in some way.
Yeah, right.
Is maybe
right.
an unfair way to put it, but it is that sort of thing where apparently, yeah, the third act, which I've only just gotten up to, becomes even more...
A little clunky. Mm. Well, we were talking last night, Ben, about an article that I read on Forbes about how... And I didn't realize this until the article, that it's Microsoft have a condition where they've said that between the Series X and Series S, they'll both have feature parity. So developers aren't allowed to bring something out that is missing a feature for the Series S version. Mm. And so... This team are having a bit of trouble getting the split screen multiplayer stuff to work on the S, which means that it's going to come out much later on the Xbox Series's.
Yeah.
And just it being a really tough thing for them. And obviously the easy solution would be like, well, yeah, if you have the more powerful console, you can do it. If not, you can't. But them being like really hamstrung by this like condition of putting stuff on these consoles, which seems weird to me.
Well, and people talked about it when Microsoft announced that they were doing the X and the S, where like the S kind of means that you have to make games for essentially the pro consoles of the previous generation, a little different, but you've got to be developing this version that will, like you say, hamstring?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds wrong saying it that way. I always hear it as hamstrung in the past.
Hamstringed.
But if you are currently hamstringing someone.
You can do a hamstring shot in Baldur's Gate 3.
You can.
On the PC and the PS5 soon.
I do a fair bit of lacerating myself.
Yeah, yeah. Same. Don't be so hard on yourself.
It's annoying. Because
it just basically assumes that you're developing stuff for the last gen.
Yeah.
And
multiple
that the current...
people have complained about it with different games already. Like,
it seems like a weird thing to do because, again, I know I'm referencing this every week at the moment, but I'm a very slow reader. I'm reading Console Wars, the book about Sega and Nintendo in the 90s, and Nintendo's approach at the time post-video game crash was really like, you have to buy the cartridges from us at this expense. We take this amount of the... Like, their licensing stuff was, like, so strict.
Yeah.
And developers started to hate it, and that's what made it relatively easy for Sega to come along and be like, hey, we'll give you a bit more freedom if you come and work with us, because people were so off Nintendo's kind of, like, bullying approach to things. And that kind of bit them in the ass a little bit, and it's kind of weird to see.
Say it hamstrung them.
It hamstrunged them.
God, that feels good.
Getting hamstring at... And Nintendo's approach to it now is like, oh, you've made a clock? Charge $50 for it on the eShop. Yeah. We don't give a fuck.
But it is weird to kind of do this thing where you're doing sort of the same thing, that there's like a historical, like this didn't pan... And, you know, like... The Baldur's Gate 3 of it, it's Larian.
Larian.
Like, they kind of hold all the cards here. Like, you would worry if you were Microsoft. Like, you need games on your console at the moment. Mm. Like, they could... I kind of think that Xbox needs Baldur's Gate 3 more than Baldur's Gate 3 needs the Xbox at the moment.
I guess so. Because
it's such a high-rated game. It's like, it would be such a bad look if they just went, we can't be fucked doing this, so we're just not going to put it out on the Xbox.
And this won't happen less. It's only going to happen more and more. Like, games are only just now starting to not be developed for the PS4 and Xbox One as well.
Well, because
hasn't been that much of a problem yet, because there were already those versions in development, which translated to the S well. But now that it is getting to the point where that people are just doing this generation of games, there's this fucked up one in the corner that made sense when they put them out initially, because it was a cheaper one and it was more available and it's the one you can easily get and whatever.
Mm. Now it's making me think, like, well, what's Starfield going to be like? It's not going to be actually fully next...
Well, because annoying thing is, like, Microsoft doing that, like, you know, betting on that, that roll of the dice, that, yeah, it assumes that the only thing that's going to be happening in this current gen is visual. So any, so for example, if there was going to be a possibility that like that Ratchet and Clank game would have been on the Xbox, it's like a big part of that was the SSD and the like, the smooth loading times in between areas where you could just go into a little dimension and it was instantaneous. That felt so next gen, and that was a true kind of leap that wasn't just about visuals. But Microsoft's like idea of it seems to be that it'll just be, oh yeah, some things look a little shinier, well, now and a little, that more textured.
That Ratchet and Clank game has come out on PC now, and it does work on just a hard drive.
Yeah, too. Sure.
It's like not as well, but so I did always find that one for some reason to be like, I think they're bullshitting us about how much this is impossible. And it turns out like, oh, it still works.
Right. Yeah, right.
And,
yeah.
and not as quickly. So it is like better with an SSD and it's designed for that. But so I think that's Microsoft's thing is that with Xbox games, they all come out on the PC as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So they think, well, if you're making it for the PC, you have to optimize it for a bunch of different configurations anyway.
Yeah.
So the S is just a lower end PC, so we'll be fine. But over time, it becomes lower and lower and lower and lower end.
Yes.
So
and the expectations or the like benchmark for the worst PC you have to optimize it for gets better and better.
But
and
you've just now got a situation where, yeah, one of the biggest games of the year is probably not going to come out this year on it because of those limitations.
And it's that where like a feature on a PC game can not work and it's, yeah, you've got a bad PC. That's shit for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's... The fact that they need all of it to be as functional on there is a shame. Like, it's irritating. It's annoying for me.
And for Larian, you'd think, like, you're now having to devote so much manpower to just getting this feature to, like, crowbarring this feature in to try and get it to work when, like, yeah, they've got this huge game where they're still finding out about little bugs and things, you know.
They put up a hot fix thing that they then had to take back down because it was fucking up people's saves and corrupting them, and they were like, yeah, sorry, so if you saved with this hot fix, that might be broken, and also you can't keep playing it until we re-release this.
Yeah,
like, it's gonna be a bit of a mess for a long time still.
Yeah. Sorry guys, in a lot of ways. The game blew up your computer, but if you want to be able to play it split screen on an Xbox Series S in 18 months time, this is just the sacrifice you're gonna have to make, okay?
All that being said, and the game gets buggier and buggier, and I think it's fair for people to point that out when they review it. It's still a fucking good game and I'm really enjoying it.
Yes.
Still.
Like, yeah, I've gone in.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you think? It hasn't clicked straight away.
Weirdly, I haven't played a ton of it. I think I've played maybe like, 3 hours or something like that, and I'm...
So you're halfway through if you're going at Ben's speed.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. It hasn't like fully hooked me in, but I am finding myself kind of like thinking about it more and more when I'm sort of away from it, which I guess is a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
I think the beginning portion of that game is its weakest, like, section too, because it throws you in so strangely that, like,
does,
it doesn't really kind of develop in a way. Like, it once it's already past that development stage, in terms of, like, narrative and stuff, by development I mean, then you're in. But that first bit is a strange, jarring intro.
It is weird. I kind of like the setup and everything of the story. I think that's cool. And yeah, I'm enjoying the like the just kind of knowing that the conversational stuff has effects down the line and you fuck up a bit and it doesn't go how you want, but like that's fine. That's kind of the point of it. The combat for the moment, I could sort of give or take, I think, is my biggest sort of hang up with it for the moment, where any of those bits that I've been in so far, I just am finding myself like, oh, I kind of would just rather be playing like Fire Emblem or Mario Rabbids because I like those mechanics and systems a little bit more. That's just for now though, I'm sure. Because it also, yeah, it doesn't really, it assumes that you know a lot about what it is and that you're, and because that's the other thing, like
it doesn't explain Dungeons and Dragons to you.
I don't have an attachment to like this style of old, you know, PC RPG.
Right.
So I am coming in like completely blind, completely as a newbie, and like this is the sort of game where I probably would have really appreciated a very long dragged out Pikmin 4 style tutorial that probably teaches me, you know, more than it needs to. Because it sort of just goes, yeah, here's combat. Just you move and then you can choose what to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, but what, like, what are all these things?
And if you hover over them, it has descriptions of all of them, but it takes some time to read all of that and then place in your head how each of them relate to each other. And like, there's a lot to learn and you don't know what's down the track too.
Yeah, it doesn't teach you, like, because Mario and Rabbids is a good example where it's like, it teaches you, it suggests, like, if you do this attack and combine it with this person's ability, you'll get this, you know, bonus sort of thing. It suggests strategy, essentially. Whereas this, it's like, you click this to attack, click this to do a different attack, and move. And it's like, well, I can do that, but am I doing it right?
Yeah.
What's the best way to approach it?
I'm like, I'm enjoying it, but I really feel like I am not doing a lot of it properly.
Right.
Or I'm doing like literally 10% of the game that exists and just being like, all these screens seem overwhelming and scary, so for now I'm just going to pretend they don't exist until I sort of really need to.
That's the thing, you just need to figure them out yourself.
Yeah, is
what it is. And I enjoy that and I'm used to it from the games that it's doing. You know, like they would come with a big thick manual that it was like, hey, read that.
Yeah, but true.
Instead of it being the manual, it's when you hover over something, it describes to you exactly what it does, but you've got to go and dig through and
you
got to
know what you're looking for in the first place, and I guess.
You figure that stuff out as you go, which I find very fun. But if you are someone who responds more to being guided in a way that most games do now, then it's not that.
It's funny because it assumes so much, even just like, taken in isolation, it's like, why is a dice coming up and rolling every day? Like, why is that happening?
Yeah.
Like,
I love the dice.
It's cool,
thing
because
it. I don't know, remember if I said this last week, but as opposed to like in the like Bethesda style of game, for example, and I'm sure it'll probably be the same in Starfield, where it's like, do you have 60 of this? No, then fuck off.
Right,
you can't lockpick this. You're a dumbass.
Yes, yep.
But this, it's like, you've only got two. Have a go.
You might get lucky.
Hey, try it.
You never know.
And I like, and it's also like, oh, you're best in the world. Well, guess what? You had a bad day. You tripped over.
Yeah.
You. Everyone fucks up sometimes.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it like on a stylistic level, and also kind of approaching it a bit differently. I think maybe you said this, Ben, about maybe Cyberpunk, that you were doing a run of it where you were like kind of properly like role playing
your
like decision choices, which I never really think about that stuff in games, and I'm thinking about it in this. Like, I'm generally just like, I'm sitting here holding the controller playing this game, whereas with this, it's been fun to just be like, I am this little dude. I'm this little dwarf guy running around, and then I'm playing the game. But, like, it's been kind of fun to sort of, like, engage with it in a completely different way, where it's not like I'm picking up the controller and I'm making Mario do this and I made this jump because my reflexes are good. I'm like, okay, where are we? We're in this world. Okay, I want to get this bit. Like,
it does
you
a
sort
good
of
job
actively
of
put yourself
that.
Into it. It's like, it's cool, yeah.
Yes.
Figuring out, like, what would they say rather than, like, what would I say?
Right.
Or, like, and what's the best thing to say?
And the fact that it gives you all of those, like, a good amount of options.
Yeah, usually.
To genuinely immerse yourself in it. And, also, I guess for you, Tommy, us having described, like, they do matter. Like, it will lead somewhere. It's not just a token, like, okay, this time you're mad, but the next time you're nice. You know, it's like,
I kind of am finding it a bit like the dialogue choices so far, sort of similar to in Kentucky Route Zero, where we talked about, like, with that game when your dialogue options would all come out. And I think we all kind of felt the same, where sometimes in a game like that, you're sort of, you're looking through all of them and you're like, oh, is it the... But with Kentucky Route Zero, just weirdly, I just knew immediately which one I would pick.
Yeah.
Like, just the way they were written or just something about it, I didn't have to, like, sit and scroll through them. I'd just be like, boom. It was, like, very instinctive in a weird way, and I think this is kind of the same thing.
Like, I think it's because they're all different and interesting, and they're not, like, you know, sometimes in a Mass Effect or whatever, you'll have, like, yes, I'll save the world. Yes, I'll save the world, dumbass.
Yeah,
I'll save the world, I'm tired. Like, it's all the same thing, but just with sort of these ultimately pretty similar...
If you've put yourself
arbitrary,
in the...
slight change.
Yeah.
If you've put yourself in the mindset of, like, how you want to be playing the game, there is just one that leaps out to you immediately. Yes, it's like, well, I've decided this is what my guy is. Mm. So, yeah, the barbarian one. That's what I'm going to do because that's what I've decided to be.
The fact that that stuff is so good is what makes it when – so I had someone be like, oh, I'm looking for this person, and my options were like, yeah, they're dead. I'm like, are they? I've never met them.
Right.
And I like looked it up to see if I'd met them and forgotten. Nah. So just when you get like into a bug thing, which there are lots, and obviously everyone's mileage varies with that stuff and they're not going to come up for everybody, but it's slightly disappointing when that stuff does happen because it's all done so well that it's annoying when it breaks.
For it to be all the rest of it to be so, immersive, and then the second that it's like not that perfect.
Because I'm loving that the second act has done some cool like set piecey things and have some good characters, and like the setting is nice. Like it's interesting stuff, and
but it's
like
challenging. So yeah, I think I'm at the end of the second act, so I'm just a bit behind Knox. But I think similar to that situation with the dead characters, I have been going through the game being like, oh, I guess this druid guy, he's just in my camp, but he's not a playable character, so I just talk to him every now and then. Okay, that's weird. And then it's like, no, he should be...
He's weird because he does join later than it seems like he should, and I don't know if that's bugged yet or if it's just sort of weird. And that happens a bit more and more, is that some stuff... It especially there's a, you can start finding your way to things the game doesn't think you should know about yet, or vice versa, where a character will say something of like in this place, and you're like, in fucking where?
Yeah, right.
I beg your pardon.
Excuse me.
And it's sort of, it apparently if you go sort of where the game tells you to go first is the better way. It does end up having a bit more of a necessary direction to it as you go further in, which
I think is what I've been doing. I've been my character, I know what he will choose, and I know how he will respond to stuff, and I'm just doing that, and I'm I guess following just what the main quest is telling me to do.
Yeah,
and that's been the only real bug, because I think I like got to a point where like a couple of quests were like, well, these are no longer relevant. But I was like, oh, but I was trying to do them and the game was telling me I could, you know, it was like I was not given access to do them, and then the game shut them off. So I was like, oh, okay. Those must have been bugged.
And you can, if you walk off and go to other places, those things become relevant.
Right.
So you're meant to explore, but also meant to explore in a certain way sometimes, seems like, which is a little, I believe I'm using this word correctly, antithetical to what they're doing with the rest of the game.
Hamstrung.
it's kind of almost...
When it's working, it's really cool, and the times when it's not working aren't bothering me in the way that they might in a different game, where I'm like, that's okay, this is crazy, so it makes sense part was like this.
The scope is so big, it's exactly. Like, it's crazy that any of this works.
It's, I mean, yeah, the story is in a game like this still being a little buggy when it comes out. The story is, how did they manage to get something like Tears of the Kingdom to come out with this insane physics engine that I didn't see anything about it being broken after it came out? I'd love to know how they were able to play test to an extent to have that so ironed out. Because you would think, again, same thing. It's so big and it's like doing so much that if there had have been a couple of things in the first week or so of, oh, I built this car and the Link just clipped through it or whatever, you'd be like, oh, well, fair enough.
Yeah.
But like, what kind of voodoo magic were they working in there to get
even
that?
Even when I've seen videos of them going like, I figured out how to fling this like person in the village off into the sky, it still kind of reacts how it should.
Yeah,
because
totally,
it's like, that you normally can't move the villages because they're weighted as like 1,000 tons or whatever, but I figured out a way to lever
you
that
get
much.
The stabilizer
and then it worked
actually
like that. It's still crazy in that game. But it definitely is. The seams are showing on an enormous structure that is an incredible feat of architecture.
One of the most dense and complex systems in terms of like a story-driven thing that's probably ever been developed.
I'm,
and when they're having to develop it for, as we're saying, multiple different
And it's out a month earlier than it was meant to be. And like, I do feel confident, which is maybe like giving someone too much rope if they put out a full price thing and go, this is released now. But the fact that they've patched up their other games in the past and the fact that I want to play this again one day is having an effect on me. And I will say as well, like, as much, and when some two things, when something breaks, but then the person you're seeing talk about characters who don't exist is written really well, you're still like, yeah, cool.
But then
also, one thing I am finding that I would change is every character is in love with me and I don't want them all to be, and it's too quick, and it's poorly written
or it's poorly paced, whatever you want to say.
It's like having this fucking like horny old lady fantasy novel thing, you know what I mean?
Is that like they want you to have the, you know, in the whole idea of freedom in the game of like, they want you to feel like you can do anything. So if you're able to romance everyone, then they have to have that first beat for like literally every person that you meet.
I also want to be able to be friends with everyone.
You know
what I mean? And not the type of friends where I'm like, I don't want to fuck you. And they're like, oh,
yeah,
fine, I'll hang around camp though. And like, then they'll still talk to you normally, but I'll know this happened before.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I think that stuff is a little like fan service-y or something.
That's
maybe.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, it is. And probably most people love it.
Yeah.
People are horny. Yeah. And hey, I'm big enough to admit.
Wow.
At least four times in my life, I've understood sexual attraction.
Yeah, right.
But
not in a video. Like, it's never actually like titillating.
I have four children, by the way. No, exactly. In a game, like, and it's awkward in the way that it's like, I don't know. It's two out of nowhere with a bunch of the characters.
No, I agree. Yeah,
but I guess like, you saw how much the whole thing of you can root a bear before the game came out. It's like, I guess they're smart about it because it's like, well, that was some easy headlines that's like probably put the game on. I mean, it wasn't really on my radar, and that was like a weird little headline that I was like, oh, what's this game coming out?
To be clear, I'm not against rooting the bear. I just want to have known the bear for a little bit.
Yeah.
And when the bear comes up to me, I don't want it to be like, God, you're fucking the hottest guy I've ever seen.
You want Winnie the Pooh to have his pants on to start with.
Yes. You've been standing in my camp for two acts.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm freaked out by you. But it's also such a good game and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
I
want to play more and root everyone. That's going to be my approach.
Well, but some people get mad if you root others and whatever.
That's their problem.
It's true. That's true.
It's 2023.
Yeah.
I'm interested to check in on it. Like, I hope it also gets fixed up and stuff. And I think the people who are playing it for the first time in a year and a half do stand to probably have.
It'll be interesting to see what it's like when it comes out on the PS5, what that version, and you know, then there'll be like a kind of second wave of people getting into it. But yeah, it's kind of weird. I couldn't quite understand why, like IGN, for example, they've just got like a review in progress that's just been kind of updated, and it's like,
I mean, it's because
there's
you need to get stuff out so quick for it to matter, and they don't want to wait the amount of time it would take to do a full review of it. You know, like it's that's annoying
there's
about
so
it.
There's so much to play in it, yeah.
People are getting stuff out too quickly.
Yeah, yes.
Because that's the nature of.
Well, go back to print. You know?
I would love it to just be magazines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If this was just a magazine.
Yes.
Oh, it would be harder.
Yeah.
Make it a full magazine each month would be a difficult thing, but I'd love to.
I'd only like to know if Baldur's Gate 3 is any good in 4 months' time when my local news agent has finally got the airshipped, you know, the United States copy of Electronic Gaming Monthly from August, and I'm reading about it in January of next year.
I would love this
game sounds good.
They always put the next month on the magazine.
Yeah.
You know, you get something in November and it's December's issue, but like, you can't trick me.
These
are September's games.
Yes.
I still love EGM. God damn.
I never read that one.
Big thick boy. Really good.
I love a thick one.
Young Australians have never been more lonely. Yet loneliness is rarely discussed and often misunderstood. Season 2 of the We Are Lonely podcast is a part of Medibank's 10-year commitment to reduce chronic loneliness in Australia.
Follow the journey of four diverse 20-somethings on their search for connection.
It's shocking enough to know that half of us will feel lonely this week, but it may surprise you more to learn that young adults are some of the loneliest people in Australia.
If we learn to understand and manage feelings of loneliness, it can be a normal part of the spectrum of human emotions.
Just as we all get hungry or thirsty, we all get lonely. It's a normal part of being human.
But if it becomes chronic, it can have the same impact on us as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Over this six-part reality podcast series, four young people meet with mentors and experts who will help them build strategies to reconnect.
Through their stories, we understand the reality of loneliness in Australia, experienced by a generation that theoretically has never been more connected.
Follow four vastly different young adults as We Are Lonely unpacks the complexity of emotions that come with this formative period in our lives.
We Are Lonely is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Search for We Are Lonely and listen today.
And this week, Filthy Casuals is also brought to you by our friends over at Manscaped.
Manscaped, they make a bunch of personal grooming products. Mm. If you've heard us talk about them before, then you know the score. It's like we always say.
Keep rhyming.
Anything that's a rhyme is
worth your time.
Yeah. Manscaped, though, worth your time and
100%,
your
money.
100%, yes. Absolutely.
Well, for me, time is money.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
I love the 80s. This is the greatest decade so far.
Greed is good, but having too much pubic hair is bad. No. And that's why I use Manscaped.
You want it to be neat. You want it to be tidy. And Manscaped can help you out with products that achieve just that and more. Because you can hedge your beard. Oh. It doesn't just have to be your pubic hair. The pubes of the face can be dealt with by Manscaped as well. The beard hedger is one of their newest things.
Yep.
And let me tell you, it hedges that beard.
Yeah.
I gave myself just a little clip up with the scissors they send you in the pack that you get with that.
Okay.
Sure.
Good scissors. The real like barber scissors with the little wave to put your fingers on.
Very sick.
Very cool.
Yep.
They're good quality products that we endorse, and we also have a secret hack that if you, while you're checking
life hack!
Why was I 30-something years old when I found out about this?
Hive mind, how can I get a discount on Manscaped? And go
to Manscaped.
Yes.
And while you're checking out, you use the code FILTHY, you get yourself 20% off. That's a fifth, and you get free shipping.
Yeah. That's 100%.
Yeah, that's five fifths.
Zero shipping fee for you. 20% off the other fee, and it's they make good stuff. Go check them out.
I love any website.
Use the code FILTHY, by the way. I don't know if I said FILTHY.
Use the code FILTHY
at checkout, 20% off free shipping.
I don't know if Manscaped do this, but I love any website where you've put a code in, and to let you know that you're getting the discount, they've got like on the final page, it'll have the cost, and then it's just like, there's just a bit that's crossed out.
Oh, yeah.
Just to let you know, it almost makes you feel like manually someone's been looking over this and they're like, oh no, there's been a grievous error here. This $50 shipping cost should not be here at all. I'm so sorry, Mr. Knox. I'm so sorry for the confusion.
It will not do. if you want also, you think time is money.
I know time is money.
This brand new thought that you've had with your book, The Shrewd Investor. It's like shrewd. It's a little pun.
Oh.
It's way better than barefoot. He can't even afford shoes.
Yeah.
NordVPN is also sponsoring the show. And if you go to nordvpn.com/filthy to acquire our VPN of choice, and it'll become yours, nordvpn.com/filthy, you get yourself 4 free months of your VPN subscription on a 2-year plan.
Yeah.
And it's a useful tool.
Teal.
You've gone Queenslander on us.
Yeah. Because I can travel anywhere around the globe using my VPN.
Yeah, it's sick. It's really helpful when you want to, either if you're traveling, you want to access stuff from home. I'm going on a holiday soon and I'm just desperate to watch stuff on ABC iView.
I mean, you'll be watching the AFL probably back here.
I will.
Yeah.
So yes. Like, and Hard Quiz. And thank God you're here.
Yeah.
Accessing content from your region doesn't have to be hard by using Nordic.
Nice.
That's Tom Gleason's thing. If you're not from Australia, log on.
Yeah.
NordVPN.com/filthy. Get yourself a deal on a good, easy to use VPN.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Tell you what. A partial answer to your question about how I had time is a game I've been playing the last couple of weeks. I've been playing in my sleep.
What?
Yeah. Did you hear I did like a Jeremy Clarkson voice just then? And it fucking made me feel really bad. It was a complete mistake. I've been playing Pokemon Sleep.
Okay.
I don't know if playing is the right word at all. I have been utilizing the app.
Yeah, you've been experiencing it.
I guess so. It is a sleep tracker app that has little Pokemon in it who you turn it on.
Yeah.
When you go to sleep, and it will measure how you slept.
Okay.
I don't quite understand how sleep trackers work. I think that it is the gyro and whatever in the phone measuring your movement.
Yeah.
And from the amount of movement you're doing, it determines whether you are sleeping deeply or not.
Yeah, and the microphone.
It hears your breathing
as
well.
It can do that, but I think that the sound is different. Because it's on a different tab and you don't need to have it. Without microphone. Like, it does record sound, and I'm making some.
Yep.
You know.
That freaked me out about, I haven't used it for ages, but the one that's like built into the iPhone.
Right.
And when you get up in the morning and the app's like, you were snoring last night. You want to have a listen? Yeah. And it's got like eight little like
terrifying
10-second recordings.
This'll do 10
of
them.
It's like, and you know, a lot of things weird about it. And just the reminder of like, oh yeah, the phone has the ability to just always be listening if it wants to.
Not even the ability, the distinct obligation. The default, the government. But so Pokemon Sleep is a sleep tracker app that, is dressed up with a bunch of Pokemon bullshit. That is honestly a bit much. Like, the amount of things it will run you through every morning of like, here's all the Pokemon who showed up.
And right.
So you get, it's not all of the Pokemon that exist, but there's a bunch of Pokemon. While you sleep, they maybe visit you. You've got like a Snorlax who you're with for the week. It changes every week.
Okay.
But it looks the same.
It's your little nap buddy.
You've also got
when Joey and Ross start having naps together,
as heard
in the famous track from the Edinburgh Military Tattoo.
Because you've also got another Pokemon. The Snorlax is like you're feeding it during the week too. You're getting more score depending on how much you sleep and how well you sleep. And then that score is like getting you berries and stuff and cookies that you can feed to Pokemon to make them your friends. And then
this
they
sounds
can
like
be
a baby
your sleep
monitor.
Buddy. It really is. And then you're trying to collect all the different poses that all the different Pokemon can sleep in. I think the poses are related to the amount of or like the type of sleep you're having. So it's kind of encouraging you to nap as well.
You're right.
So
okay.
You're not having like, because all of my sleep is slumbering sleep.
Okay.
Because I'm sleeping during the night.
Yeah, that makes sense.
As deeply as I can.
Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
You're going for it.
Some of that REM, baby.
Yeah.
I don't think I have problems with sleep, and the app isn't like chastising me. Really, it tells you like, oh, you're getting more or less sleep, and your score will be like, that's not enough or whatever.
Right.
But it's not in any way, neither should it necessarily, like medically telling you information or anything. It's not
now,
really a...
Am I correct that you use a CPAP, right?
I do. I meant to.
Right.
I sometimes
do you? Is that a thing that you put into the game?
No,
does
it
ask you any of that kind of stuff?
And I wish it did, like have a wheezing there or something.
Yeah,
just like, I'm your buddy for this or something.
It does. It sounds like it operates a really, like in a weird gray zone where it's like, because there are other apps that are functionally the same that are like, hey, we got to tell you, like, we're not this isn't medical, but this can support, you know, like, a diagnosis, or it can work with your doctor, or it's like,
hey, you're rolling around a lot.
So to get that thing, I used another one that gave you a sleep score. And when I told the sleep doctor guy my sleep score, it was like, that's the highest I've ever seen.
Wow.
Sleep score is bad.
Yeah.
By the way.
Okay,
snore
right.
score, sorry. I should say.
Okay, right,
snore
right.
score. And I was like, as a joke, like,
you go in,
hooray.
You're like...
And he was like, no.
You go in,
anyway.
You're like, I got 8 Pikachus last night. Is that any good?
It's like, you're about to die.
So...
But yes, like dressing it up as like a, you know, fun gamey thing is like,
and it is for kids. What is it meant to be for? Is it meant to be a game, or is it meant
to... It's just for gamifying regularity of sleep.
Right.
That's all it's trying to do.
Yeah.
So it has those warnings and stuff, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
Like, this is nothing. But it's not trying to be anything. It's just trying to encourage you to sleep a certain amount and regular times. You can have it be like, Pikachu's getting ready for bed. It gives me a little notification every night saying that.
Right,
I'm like, thank God there's never anyone here.
While I was in Vietnam, I was using the Digimon currency converter a fair bit.
Cool.
No, I'm just saying, why don't we gamify every utility app on the iPhone?
Yeah.
Should have some sort of like cartoon tie-in equivalent.
Because that's the thing. It's not working for me because I'm actually finding it a bit annoying because every morning it takes too long to get your summary of everything that happened. And there's this fucking doctor professor, one of the professors, you know, the Oaks and the Elms and whatever. Yep. He shows up and he's like, you slept again, did ya? And I'm like, shut up, man. It's the first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's all a bit irritating, honestly, to me. But other people are saying, like, this is actually encouraging me to sleep regularly in a way that I don't normally. Because I think any form of sort of giving you a checklist and stuff like that can be encouraging.
Little reminder,
These Pokemon just not pricks. Really first, they're trying to get us to spend our whole day walking around.
Mm.
Now they're trying to get us to have naps. What do they want?
Yeah,
make they want your us minds
to,
up.
They want us to be active and then rest. Ridiculous. Straightforward.
What's next? Pokemon eat regularly and healthily.
Yeah.
You can use the little Pokeball for Pokemon Go. The Pokemon Plus Go thing as well as a sleep tracker.
Oh, that's cool.
Huh.
But, like, I don't think that has a microphone in it either, though.
So
that will only do the movement stuff. It's all just, like, I want to do it because my sleep is a problem with me and I want something to work and this isn't it for me, it doesn't seem like. But I keep using it when I remember. So, I don't know.
Bit of fun.
I wish it zipped through all that stuff quicker and let it just go, good morning, and then I can go check it if I want.
Yeah,
but it runs you through it. So I find I'm just not doing that bit doing it later and it just is slow. But anyway, it's worth checking out. It's free. There are paid things in there to buy currency, to buy cookies, to make the Pokemon your friends and all of that.
This is the most bizarre app.
Yeah.
And it's weird when you're using it too. I still don't have my head around it. I've been using it for a couple of weeks and it feels there's so many different little buttons with here's this score and here's this one and there's no context for this, but here's this score and this is just a number. It means nothing to you because there's no reference to what the number should be.
Right.
But it's worth... I don't know if it's everywhere yet either. I think it launched in Australia slightly earlier than some other places. But worth having a look at as a curiosity since it's free.
Yeah.
Well, I've been playing something from the App Store as well.
One other thing. You've got to leave your fucking screen on.
Oh.
And like face down and the phone's got to be on your bed.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Yeah, that's annoying. That was the annoying thing about the built-in sleep tracker thing. I never liked having the thing on the mattress.
And it makes sense you got to do it that way because it's measuring your movement.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could spend $90 on the little Pokeball if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Sleep with that.
Sure.
Which, when you push the button on that, it goes like, Pikachu! Better than that. Higher quality.
But I can't imagine anything higher than
that. That was real life for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrinkle in terms of like, I'm sleeping, but I'm embarrassed all night.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've been playing something from the App Store.
Mm.
The Crazy Bone Spirit level. Now, I've been playing an Apple Arcade game called Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Oh.
The Animal Crossing-esque Sanrio character take on that.
Mm-hmm.
You make your own little Sanrio character at the start of the game.
Oh, that's what that screenshot you sent us was from.
Yeah.
I had no idea what that was.
Oh, right.
It was just some weird little cat and you're like, this game's awesome.
It was Hello Kitty.
No.
I don't think that was Hello herself.
Oh, wasn't it?
It's me and it's my character and I think... Hello Kitty is in the screenshot as well. But the reason I sent the screenshot was because there's a little Gudetama behind me.
Oh, right.
So Gudetama's a Sanrio character and there's like heaps of him dotted around the island and you get a little challenge of like find all of them and get a photo with. He gets built up as like the famous little Gudetamas that that inhabit this island.
Nice.
But yeah, so you make a little character. Not quite as much freedom as you would hope from like a set, you know, you would really hope that you can kind of go a bit wild with like the sort of Sanrio character design elements, but you're pretty limited in what you can make, which is a little disappointing.
I kind of guess I imagine that they would have that stuff quite locked down.
Mm.
You don't want people to be able to make like, here's, I don't know, satanic Hello Kitty or whatever.
Right.
Not even that, but more just like... You know, all the different eyes that their kinds of characters have. Like, not that I want to be able to go that wild.
Oh, but you just want the full gamut of their stuff.
Kinda. I mean, you get like three different head types to choose from, like four different eyes. It is pretty limited.
Right.
Like, to be fair, IRL.
Yep.
There's three head types. round, square, narrow.
Mm. But
Name another.
But you're talking
you
about
you won't be able to.
But you're talking about
really
humans.
Narrow.
Falls under narrow.
You're talking about in human head
That's
types.
True,
this
I
is
am,
Hello Kitty world
these
where we've
animals,
got little
maybe?
Cool angry penguins and little frogmen and little doggies.
Penguin, narrow, frog, round, doggy, also round. It all works. You won't be able to throw me a curveball.
It's just fur or skin type, an ear shape.
Not head shape, so we're in the clear with that.
In Animal Crossing,
all right, you've won me over. Game of the year.
In Animal Crossing, you can basically just do like haircut, eyes, and mouth.
It's,
right?
Yeah, it's but I mean, it's the amount of like options that you get within them. I feel like there's quite a few eyes, and you can. This
I'm,
just
I'm,
feels
I'm
like
clowning around too. Yeah. I do. I found the same thing even with Pikmin 4, where it's like, I wish I could make this guy look a bit different. And like with the Miis, where you could move your eye distance further. And that sort of thing.
Yeah. And I'm saying, like Animal Crossing is also frustrating that it's too limited.
Well, I think in this in particular, it's more that you end up designing a character that doesn't really. I think that's the thing about it for me is that your character doesn't end up looking that much like it belongs in the Sanrio world.
Right.
Is the weird thing to me.
Right.
Like it's not giving you the same sort of style of eyes and head shape. So it's like, oh, this looks like one of their characters. Mm. It does look like you've made a weird little video game avatar that looks sort of a bit out of place when it's like walking around with Hello Kitty and the little frog. God, I'm 37.
I sold you through the Pokemon sleep talk.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically, it's you start off, you're on a plane with all these characters. Something goes wrong, you have to jump out of the plane. You're on this island.
All of
resort.
You die. There's 100 of you.
Yeah,
one can live. Okay, we've seen this before.
You're on this island resort. Everyone's kind of scattered around, and it is. It's. I'm not really into too much of the like Animal Crossing esque like, you know, get 10 sticks to build a chair. Sort of stuff yet, because to begin with, it's very objective based.
Right.
It's an Animal Crossing.
Say hello to Kitty.
Literally, that is your first quest.
Yes.
Say hello to Hello Kitty though. Her name is Hello Kitty.
Oh, right.
Mm. Yeah. You're being guided around this island. It's not sort of open ended. Yeah. Now just make your house look however you want. Mm. I assume you probably get into some of that stuff the further in you get. But it does have more of like a driving force behind it, even though all it really is just like, yeah, just go walk around and find three of these.
Mm.
But it's like, it's bright and cheery and you're meeting all these different little Sanrio characters. They've all got their personalities that are pretty like tropey, but you know, it's a bit of fun. You're building up your friendship levels with them by giving them gifts. And then you can get them to like hang out with you when you unlock different quests if you get them to a certain friendship level. It's cool if you like the kind of, it is very, you're on an island, so it is like very Animal Crossing, even in sort of its aesthetic, like the sort of low key sort of music that's underneath it is very Animal Crossing-y. So if you like that style of game, you'll like this. And if you've bounced off that pretty quickly because you wanted a bit more like objective, you wanted a bit more sort of guidance and things to actually be doing, then I think give this a try. It's good, even though it's very like, child focused in the fact that it's Hello Kitty.
I was gonna say, is this seem like a good like chuck this on your iPad baby's iPad?
Kinda, yeah. This would be a good kid's first game. It is also just a good, it's a good relaxing iPhone thing if you're just wanting to kill time on the train. It's not too taxing. But it still is cheery and fun. And like I said, you're getting little objectives that are like, you know, you're having to kind of look around for these things. And then, you're going into these little dungeony sort of rooms that have little puzzles in them that are pretty simple. But they're along the lines of like a Mario Rabbids overworld kind of like, line up these cords to turn this, generator on kind of stuff, which is like, relatively simple, but you know, I assume get sort of a bit more and more taxing as you go on. It's on Apple Arcade, so if you've got that, you just get it as part of that for free.
Is there microtransaction-y stuff in this? It sounds.
Is there a Mr. Hello Kitty? I don't think so. Not that I've seen. I'm not getting that impression from it. There might be as you go on, but I haven't gotten to anything yet that's like, you need 50 coins, although if you just slip that's me cool. a cool $1.99.
Because you'd think it'd be something where it's like, Hello Kitty's got 5,000 possible couches.
Yeah.
$10.
Yeah, I wonder. I haven't seen that written about it anywhere, and I haven't seen anything that makes cool. me think that's
it would
so
have
far.
To say
could be wrong, though.
In the App Store too, it'll say purchases.
Oh, sure.
I guess it'd be easy to find out if you have a look for.
I mean, I just got it on the from the Apple Arcade page. I don't want to give people a bum steer here, but but yeah, a bit of fun, good little, very low key time killer, like a good one to just kind of have on the phone for when you feel like, you know, nothing too taxing.
If you feel like having a quick look at something that's not too taxing, but you're an adult. You could
very rich of you, Mr. Snorlax.
I said I wasn't liking Pokemon Sleep, so I'm a grown-up. Mm-hmm. I only peed my pants 3 times, and Charmander was very nice about it. There's a cool thing that, you know, Lucas Pope, who...
Imagine having a Bulbasaur rock up in the morning and being like, I got bad news. You had a wet dream. Hide the sheets from Mum. You're going to get in trouble.
Who is it about? Because I know we've got the app data, and a lot of people are having it about that Gardevoir one. That's the one everyone draws. Yeah.
Cut to the chase, Mr. Mime. Just give it to me straight. What's this sticky
using his
stuff
hands
on the
up
sheets?
And down. He can't tell you it's Mr. Mime. He's probably the worst guy.
This is infuriating.
Him just like putting his tongue in his cheek. It's like that happened.
He's pointing at Ditto, you know, like sort of like that, you know, like.
The guy did the Witness and Papers, Please. I believe that's the same person. And I also think I saw some stuff around, like, maybe he's a bit weird on Twitter or something. So I don't know much about it. But it's the 10-year anniversary of
I think that's two different. Isn't Lucas Pope the Return of the Obra Dinn guy?
You're right. I am getting The Witness and Return of the Obra Dinn. So I am sorry about that. Lucas Pope, who did Papers, Please and Return of the Obra Dinn, I'm fairly sure.
Yes.
Let's double check that.
And
Jonathan Blow is the other guy who did The Witness and Braid.
Yes.
I've gotten two people mixed up. I wish they were Pokemon so that they had distinct silhouettes. That's the only way I can tell people apart. But anyway, I apologize for that.
Pope's working
and I retract it. As I said to Mr. Mime after he told me about my wet dream.
Yeah, Jonathan Blow is definitely the Witness guy.
Yeah, I've gotten hamstrung.
I think he's working on something for the play date.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, he is. And also, at some point. Anyway,
what was I looking up?
I don't know.
We
the
already
Hello
figured
Kitty
it
transaction.
Out.
You figured it out.
Doesn't
okay.
matter. So Lucas Pope, who is, I don't know him, but I do know now he has done Papers, Please and Return of the Obra Dinn.
Yes.
Both great games.
Yeah, yeah.
Papers, Please turned 10 and it's as like a celebration, they put up a bunch of stuff and you can buy merch and whatever. And also this cool thing that's just on their website, they made like a pretend little LCD game, like a Game & Watch style thing of Papers, Please.
Oh, sick.
And so you can just play it in your browser and it's a cool thing. They've emulated this whole thing where it's got 4 buttons on it, like a mode button, some other one, and then like reject and accept.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the way it works is it has a little LCD thing down the bottom that can show text.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the screen is, you know, the sort of prefabricated like LCD games were... shapes that will combine in different ways if they're turned on or not to form a face,
right?
Cool. With different features on it that look, you know, all pretty unique and whatever. And it, someone will walk up to the screen, go beep beep beep, and walk up in a series of still LCD images, and then they will have, I assume, a randomly generated kind of face, and they will say, "My name's X, and I'm from Y country."
Mm-hmm.
Then their passport will show up on the screen. You've got to compare the two and either accept or reject, like Papers, Please.
Right.
And it's fucking cool. What a funny little thing to
that
do.
Sounds
for
sick.
Neat little way to celebrate the anniversary of a game.
I play. It's only like you'll play for 5 minutes and be like, okay,
cool.
But it's such a cool little thing. And one of the sort of things are, if they made a real version of that, I'd be a real risk to buy that one.
It'd be cool. They could probably even put it on the playdate.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I could see him. Given that he's developing something for it, I could see him just chucking it on that. Because they put out an update for it where it's now got like a built-in store on it.
Right.
You could sideload stuff to it pretty easily, but you had to like link it to your computer.
Yeah.
And now there's just a thing on the Playdate that you can go on to and get these games direct to it, and then they'll recommend stuff. So
right.
He could, I could see him chucking it on there. That'd be like that screen is sort of basically what that is, a bit more high tech, but
yeah. It looks really cool. Like they've, made it look like a photo of an old Game and Watch, and it's got like sort of a messy screen, and then there's a page below it of like a photocopied instruction pamphlet thing. It's a nice little thing.
I just love the thing of like, instead of, generally a lot of times, this game's been out for 10 years and now we're doing a little, slight remaster of it for current gen or whatever. I like the thing of the demake. Like those Game & Watch things they did of Mario Brothers and The Legend of Zelda for their anniversaries. Of, like, here's just the original scaled down. Take GTA 5 for its 10-year anniversary and make a SNES version of it.
Fuck. So that's a cool little thing. And in the opposite direction, the thing I played a bunch of this week, they bloody remastered Quake 2. Bitch.
Oh, yes. Mm.
It's back. Kaboom. Mm. Bang, bang. Anyway, it's cool. it's the same as the Quake 1 mm-hmm. was a couple years ago, where it is a free update if you already own Quake 2 on Steam.
Oh, cool.
And it's also on Game Pass and stuff, or it's like $10. Like, they haven't increased the price of Quake 2, I don't believe.
Right.
It's like a full, very well done remaster by Night Dive, who did like System Shock just recently too. They did the first Quake one. They've done a bunch of others. And I heard they're a problem on Twitter. No, I need to get my people right. Lucas Pope probably fought. By the way, I retract. The whole thing is so well done. It's got so they made that ray tracing update to Quake 2. It was just like a tech demo. It was like the first level or something a while ago. It doesn't have the ray tracing stuff in it. Instead, it is like what you'd expect, like the lighting is better and they've done sort of upgraded models that retain the same look and you can turn on anti-aliasing and all that sort of stuff. It looks nice, but it still plays exactly the same. You can turn it all off. There's like kind of a cool CRT emulator in there if you want. They've included the main game and then the expansions, and Quake 1 later got an update where there were even more like mods and stuff put option.
Yeah, I've never played either of these back in the day. Maybe
Quake 64 is in it. It's that, man, they're still really fun. Quake 2 feels slightly stiffer to me in a weird way than Quake 1 did, because I played a bunch of Quake 1 not that long ago as well. But it's fascinating in terms of, like, I love going back to what were things like back in this year. And seeing the place that Quake 2 occupies in like the history. It's just before Half-Life, just after like Quake, obviously, and all the Doom and stuff. And you can see things are just starting to get to the point where in Quake 2, they're like, oh, these levels are interconnected and you kind of have to go back through here. And it's still a really fun game. The multiplayer had people there and it didn't work or something for me, I guess. I didn't get into a game or something. I didn't end up playing any of that.
I think you got beaten really badly.
I didn't want to do it, I would have won, but I just didn't. I wasn't interested.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's not what I heard.
No, I saw zero kills.
No, well, it's because I didn't do any. That's why that was a mistake. That was an error. There's bugs 100 in the
games
game.
Played. That's apparently
no zero actually.
And you're only playing against children.
No,
is what I saw.
You didn't. it's cool, and like just putting this out for free. And it being to the level of quality that it is. Is sick, because it's just like exactly what something like this kind of
everyone
ideally
else
should be. Right?
Yeah, everyone else working on a full price remaster being like, you motherfuckers.
Right.
Well, totally. Like, that's the thing of why Red Dead had such a negative reception, is because, like, see?
Yeah.
Look at what other people are doing. And, like, it, you know, Quake 2 also stood to make less money from them putting it out for $50 in the US and everything.
Yes.
Like, commercially inaccurate that would have been. But, like, this is a really cool thing that they don't need to do. That it's sick.
Yeah,
and Quake 2 is still pretty fun.
Nice.
I don't love the rocket launcher in it.
Really?
Some of the guns don't feel great to me.
You're not rocket jumping around?
The rocket launch is just a bit slow in Quake 2. There's okay. something about it where it feels a little wimpy compared to what I want a rocket wimpy? Launcher to be. Mm. Yeah, wimpy.
A wimpy rocket launcher.
It's kind of wimpy.
Wow.
Well, it's just like, it's what well, it sounds like your results in the multiplayer, honestly.
No, because I didn't try any of the multiplayer and no one ever can tell that they were
I've
playing
with
me.
I've got screen capture of every game you played.
There's no recording of me crying while playing the Quake 2 multiplayer.
Jigglypuff told me you cried and pissed your pants while you were awake too, so
yeah.
he really went out of his way to let me know.
I was talking in my sleep. That's private.
Yeah,
I do remember I sleep talked. There was a clip of me going, it's not even food.
Oh, great.
I don't remember what the dream was, but it sounded like I was annoyed at someone else for eating something.
You're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That wasn't food.
Yeah.
My Play-Doh, girlfriend the other maybe. Morning was like, what were you yelling at me about in the middle of the night? I'm like, you were snoring and then you like started like choking as you were snoring. And jeez. I shook you to wake you up. And she's like, oh, my memory of it is you were like angry at me and yelling at me. I'm like, oh, there's a lot to dig into here. No, I was trying to stop you from dying. Well, that's going to do us for another week. We will be back next week with Bomb Rush Cyberpunk is out tomorrow.
Mm. Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing what that's all about. After. Yes. Feels like we've been talking about that game for a while.
For a fair while.
Mm.
There was something else coming out in the next week, I think, that I'm interested in too, but I...
Not Armored Core. That's still
the week after.
Yeah. I'm going to play Red Dead 1.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah, nice.
I'm playing right into their little hands.
Yeah, yeah. You're enjoying a cool game.
Yeah, I'm going to buy 500 copies just so they do this again.
I'm very curious to see how it, or hear how it runs and yeah.
I'm going away for a couple of nights, so I would like to get it on Switch, but I'm just kind of waiting till it's sort of out to see the, you know, digital foundries or whatever, if there's any... It seems like it should basically be...
The 360 version always ran version, so. Kind of fine.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's an old ass game, and the Switch is okay.
But then, like, the PS3 version was kind of shitty at release as well. So,
right.
that game has run poorly on hardware before.
Yes.
Yeah, true.
Who knows?
Yep. We'll be back to talk that and more stuff next week.
Yeah.
Until then, get on to filthycasuals.com.au for all of the stuff that we have going on. Get on the Patreon and support the show. Help keep the lights on in here. Very much appreciated by us. You get a bonus show.
Mm.
Every week, hour-long show where we talk about movies and pop culture and all that kind of stuff. Get on our Bandcamp. You can get our recent extra-long sort of premium episode that we did where we tried to design the perfect game using elements from other existing games in order to Frankenstein's monster the perfect game together. And I think we did a damn good job of it.
Yeah.
Actually, the name of the Bandcamp special was Dr. Frankenstein's Monster. So
check all that out. Also, the YouTube videos
on
our channel. Heaps of stuff on there. And video recordings of these episodes every week as well, if you would like to watch this instead of listen. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
No, a Squirtle showed up during the night. That's why. It's Squirtle. It's a water type.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.